Americans say their number one financial worry is having enough money to retire. So we're going to take a few minutes now to talk about one solution that people are trying overseas, which is starting to get attention from American politicians. To tell us about this, I'm joined by NPR's Chris Arnold. He heads up our money and life coverage. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Ari.
How bad is the problem before we get to the solution?
Well, as you've probably heard before, the problem is very bad. And one thing that sticks in my mind is I saw a talk that Janet Yellen gave on this.
She's the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Yes, exactly. And she was talking about income inequality and other things. But she put up on the wall a chart, and it showed that American families with children, half of those families have almost no assets whatsoever. I mean, just next to nothing. And, you know, it was just very striking. And there are other surveys that you can look at, too, that show that more than a quarter of American workers have saved less than $1,000 for retirement. Not a pretty picture.
And so those people are going to be what, almost entirely dependent on Social Security?
Unless things change, absolutely, and especially the ones that are older, and it's too late for them to start saving. And as people get older, they are more likely to put aside some money, but there are just lots and lots of people who are finding with Social Security, the savings that they have, it's just not enough.
So, Chris, you've brought us a personal story that really illustrates this in vivid terms. Tell us about this.
Right. So I went to visit Risa Sawyer out in Adams, Massachusetts. She's 62 years old. And for financial reasons, she's living with a friend. And it turned out when I got to her front door, she is also living with a big brown pit bull named Roscoe.
Yeah, Roscoe. Listen.
Want to smell the microphone, Roscoe?
So Roscoe, it turned out, was a big sweetheart, and we got him some water, and we sat down to talk, and she was explaining just what it's like to try to live now that she started to collect Social Security. And Sawyer, she has some health problems. She would like to retire, but she's telling me here that she just can't afford to.
It's impossible. Social Security doesn't pay me enough to live. My Social Security benefits are only $486 a month.
How does she live on $486 a month?
Well, I mean, she does, and she has a part-time job because of that. But she's in this situation that I think a lot of Americans are in, where she worked informal jobs, where she wasn't paying a lot into Social Security. And so then you end up getting this very low Social Security payment. So she's working a part-time job at this tourist information center in town, and figures she's going to have to work at some job or another for the rest of her life, and her health is getting shaky.
It's scary. Every month, the first thing I do when I get my check, my Social Security check, is try and pay the car payment, my care credit for the dentist, because the dentist bill was like over 10 grand. Day-to-day living, it's like, what am I going to do? What can I afford now?
Chris, this model of save on your own while you're working if you can, depend on Social Security and retirement, has been the American model for a while now. There are other models out there that you looked at. What are other people trying?
There's something that's happening in the UK right now. There's a new law that's being phased in that I think is really, really interesting. So the problem is human beings are just bad at saving on their own. What the UK is essentially doing is, instead of saying, okay, we're going to leave it up to you to save, you have to choose to save, the government's saying, you know what, you have to choose not to save. They're kind of flipping it around. The government's telling all employers across the country, if you don't have a retirement plan for your workers, you have to get one, and then you have to automatically enroll your workers into this plan. I talked to Charlotte Clark. She's the top UK official overseeing the program. Here's what she said.
If you're an employer, it doesn't matter what size you are. You know, you could be McDonald's, you could be the BBC, or you could be somebody who employs a nanny.
So fast food workers on minimum wage, just about everybody in the entire country is getting set up with what we'd call a 401k style retirement account.
Chris, this sounds like a government mandate, and we know from the healthcare debate that government mandates don't necessarily go over well in American politics. Are people being forced by the government to save?
No, and this is the interesting thing here, too, that this is more of a psychological nudge or a behavioral nudge, that for the employer, it's a mandate. But for you, me, a worker, anybody, they can opt out. They could say, no, thank you very much. Give me my money back, maybe in an English accent. And then but the thing is, they stay in. 90% of people will stick with it just because it's the default. And it's a very easy way to push people over the edge and get them to start saving. And that's what they're seeing in the UK. Here's Charlotte Clark again.
We have so far done about 100,000 employers, and 6 million people have a retirement plan that they didn't have before.
Is this being tried anywhere in the U.S.?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize this, but 25 states across the country are in some stage of either exploring this or crafting legislation. Some are passing legislation. I think Maryland just passed a law this week, and there's bipartisan support for these bills that look pretty similar, some of them, to what they're doing in the UK.
And what could the national impact of that be if it happened on the federal level?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, if you look at small businesses, they say, no, you can't do this. There might be too much administrative burden. So as these rules and laws get crafted, they really try to lower the burden on small businesses to get it through. The impact would be there are 55 million Americans, according to AARP, who do not have a retirement plan at work. So best case scenario, this could catapult a lot of them into a much better situation.
We're in the middle of a presidential campaign. What have the candidates said about a plan like this? Could we see the next president implement something like this on the federal level?
We could. Anything can happen. So far, the candidates themselves are not talking about this, but there is obviously a lot of interest at the state level. So the next president could get behind this. The candidates at this stage are talking more about sort of more predictable things, Social Security. And to kind of sum that up, they're all saying they would protect Social Security. They would do slightly different things with it. Bernie Sanders wants to expand it. He says it's the greatest federal program ever. Hillary Clinton would expand it a little bit for people who were, say, stay-at-home moms or taking care of a sick family member, and so they weren't paying into Social Security as much. And Donald Trump has said sometimes he doesn't want to change the program at all. He's said some other things, so it's a little unclear exactly what his plan will be, but that's about where the candidates are.
That's NPR's Chris Arnold with the latest conversation in our series, Politics in Real Life. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Ari.